Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center. I'm Randy Carlson. The doors are open if you're a parent of a teenager, even a younger one, or maybe even an adult son or daughter, and you struggle with disrespect. What is one thing that you found to be effective? You know what? Let me just say this as we get started. I have found often disrespectful kids learn that sometimes from parents who are also disrespectful. Ooh, ouch. Let's talk about that and other things having to do with raising kids today from the Intentional Living Center.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. I suspect disrespect can start early on, but teens seem to be masters at it. If you have a disrespectful teen in your house and want help, call now, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in beautiful Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. You must have looked out the window today because it is a pretty day indeed. And today, talking about parenting in terms of, you know, young adults, teenagers, maybe even school-age children, and disrespect in the home. You know, the disrespect is the opposite of respect. Dis, as we talked about the other day, was the resisting alternate force in life. And so instead of being respectful, it's disrespectful. And you know it. You feel it. You feel disrespect. And sometimes kids who are disrespectful have learned it in the home because they feel disrespected by their parents. And so one of the first things I'm going to share with you right out of the chute here as we get into hearing suggestions on things you have done to effectively and as godly parents deal with disrespect in your home. You don't fight fire with fire. You never use disrespectful comments from your kids to show disrespect back. In fact, in one of my books, I have a whole chapter called Active Respect. And active respect is the process whereby, because I say, because we respect you so much, son or daughter, because we respect the fact that you are an individual person and you are capable of showing respect, because we respect you so much, we're willing to hold you accountable for your disrespect, such as some privileges that are withdrawn, maybe some of the freedom. And now with technology, you know, you just don't have access to all the technology that we made available to you just because you think you ought to have it because you're alive in America and in the 21st century. You know, respect is something that's a two-way street. We'll give you respect, and we expect it back in turn. And when that happens, we have to be intentional in the process, okay? So come join us. I'd love to hear how you're effectively dealing with disrespect from your child or your teen. 888-888-1717.
Something that I am doing intentional with my children, I have four of them, and my husband and I both work full-time, so we're pretty busy, lots of things going on, different ages, different sports, but when they are talking to me, I look them right in the eye. If I have to get down at their level, I do, but I make them feel that what they're saying is the most important thing going on at that moment. Hard to do. I got a couple talkers, but I know that makes them feel good. And growing up, I didn't quite get that, and so I make a point to listen to my children and let them know I'm listening.
All right, good. That's one way of doing it. You listen to your kids. You know, the Bible says to be swift listeners, which means paying attention. One of the ways that we can deal with disrespect is making sure that we're showing respect by listening to our kids and making it clear to our kids, listen, you can share with me whatever you're upset about, whatever you're concerned about, whatever you don't disagree with me about. I'm happy to talk to you about it. But when you get disrespectful, you know, we're kind of at the end of the rope right there. I can't just sit here and take that. Go cool down. We'll come back and talk later. But dropping into the mode of becoming disrespectful with a disrespectful kid is just not effective. All right, Letitia is on the line. Let's find out how she handles a 16-year-old daughter who can be disrespectful. Hi, Letitia.
Hello.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
What are you wrestling with?
Well, I have my 16-year-old daughter, and her dad and me are not together. And I think she tries to take advantage of that situation.
Mm-hmm. So she plays one parent against the other?
No, it's not like that. It's like I was commenting, she's been asking for a tattoo and a pierce on her tongue. And then
Ouch.
So she said, so I tell her, your dad's not going to like it. And then she said, well, he don't need to know.
Oh.
And she knows it's not right, but she still wants to do it.
Yeah, sure. And so do you and dad agree?
No, he doesn't want that. And a lot of the things.
Well, wait a minute. Do you and your husband agree? Do you agree that she shouldn't have this?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys are in agreement.
Yes.
But he doesn't know that she wants to do this.
He knows because he knows what she likes, and he knows. But I think most of it, she tries to get his attention.
Uh-huh, sure.
And so I think lately she mostly wants attention.
Yeah, and so she, yeah. And unfortunately, that's not the kind of attention I think a 16-year-old should be looking for in this day and age. Letitia, listen, you and your husband are in agreement. You don't want her to do this.
No.
Do you have a good relationship with your daughter? You and dad?
Well, him and me, my husband and me are in a situation right now where we're not together and we argue sometimes.
Okay, so you're separated.
So I think and I think that's why she's acting this way.
Sure.
So, uh-huh.
Well,
we
you and your husband talk. And you do agree. I think what's really important, Letitia, I mean, I'm sorry you guys are separated. It makes it more difficult. And for a 16-year-old, you know, very likely you've touched on it. She's trying to get attention, and it's her way of, you know, showing, acting out. But a lot of 16-year-olds want tattoos today. It's a big deal these days, piercings and all that kind of thing. It seems to me that you and your husband, mom and dad, need to sit down with your daughter and just say, honey, we love you. Stuff going on between the two of us is our stuff. It's adult stuff. But we love you and we care for you. But listen, when you're 18 years old, you can pierce anything you want, tattoo anything you want. It's your decision. But we don't want that. You're 16 years old. You're going to change your mind on a lot of things. There's a lot of people that 2 or 3 years later say, hey, I wouldn't have done it now if I knew now what I knew then, what I know now. And so when you're 18 years old and you've graduated from high school and you're on your own, you can do those things. But here, while you're 16 in our home, we don't want you to do that. That's something we don't want you to do. And now, not every parent agree with that. That's where I would come down. If you and your husband stand in agreement, it's going to be much better with your daughter than disagreement.
Okay. I'm just worried about her, how she's acting, because I know I've put a lot of attention in trying to get a relationship together or get together again. But then I think I've kind of put her on the side, and I think that's my mistake. So I've been trying to focus on her more.
Well, Letitia, listen, I'm sorry you guys are going through this separation. I hope that, and I pray that the two of you can restore this relationship and stand together as a team. That's the way God intends for it to be. Anything other than that is more difficult, obviously. It can work, but it's more difficult. And so a 16-year-old can be difficult in any number of situations. But the two of you in agreement, praying together, getting some counseling together, and coming up with a game plan, letting her speak her piece and what's going on in her life. But you guys are the parents, and you need to make sure you hold her accountable in a way that's loving and consistent.
This is Steve Tanner with a word about intentional citizenship. What's your worldview, and does it matter? Kathy Herod is a Christ follower, a family policy advocate, and president of Center for Arizona Policy.
Worldview should impact how we vote, should impact how we live our lives. Do we believe that the Bible means something? Are we going to look at biblical principles and apply them to our lives? In our culture today, especially in the United States of America, we have two competing different worldviews on how we look at issues of life, how marriage should be defined, what religious liberty means. One worldview tends to talk about religious liberty meaning freedom to worship. Freedom to worship means freedom to worship within the four walls of your church. The other worldview would say, no, the First Amendment means what it says, that we are to freely exercise our religious beliefs. That means in the public square, in the marketplace, in every aspect of our lives. So those are competing worldviews that really have great impact for the future of our country. So when you consider your worldview, do you agree with that God's called us to go into all the world, not just certain arenas, or is it restricted to just within the four walls of our church?
For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner.
All right. Thank you, Steve. And Kathy, less than a week away, Election Day, big deal. And when I heard the statistics that about half of those of us who claim to be Christians vote, pretty sad commentary. Come on. If you're registered, vote. It only takes a little bit of time. Know what you're voting for, know who you're voting for and why, and the issues and the people and the candidates and their position on things, and then vote. It's really important. I think that's something we all should do. Talking about disrespect today in our homes, and when we have disrespectful kids, just take a gut check about yourself. Are you showing respect to your kids? What are things that we can do to be disrespectful to our children? We can ignore their complaints. We cannot listen to them. Of course, we can yell. There's obvious things that we know are disrespectful, lashing out, being punitive. But sometimes it's a subtlety of disrespect, of ignoring, playing down, blowing off what their concerns are, not being interested in the things that they're interested in. And to the extent that we show respect to our kids, you know, we should expect respect coming back. And if not, then we need to change how we respond, don't we? All right, Diane, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
My question of it is I have a five-year-old who's very argumentative with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I probably, you know, play along with her sometimes because I yell at her. Because I've tried everything. I've taken the TV away. I've taken all electronics away. And sometimes I even give her a timeout. But it's just that she thinks she knows a lot. And I know she's young.
Yeah, she's 5 years old.
Right, but the thing of it is, I don't want to yell at her, you know, because I know I'm probably disrespecting mm-hmm. her just as much as she's disrespecting me.
Yeah, and that's good insight. Did you grow up that way? Did your mom? Did you and your dad? Mm-hmm. You find yelling in
no.
the home you grew up in?
No, mm-hmm. I grew up in a pastoral family.
Well, they can also be yellers too. I've experienced that. But Diane, listen. Here's a couple things. I hear parents regularly saying, I've tried everything, or I'm trying everything. Like, I'm keep pushing a button until I find the solution. And we got to come back to what the Bible teaches, that we as parents are given the role to be disciplinarians. And the word discipline comes from the idea of training, a disciple, a trainer, one who's going to instruct and love and nurture. And so my encouragement to you is you're going to have to find a way not to scream at your five-year-old. That is disrespectful behavior, and she's going to pick up on that. And I don't know if you have to count to 10, walk around the house, lock yourself in the bathroom for 5 minutes and calm down, but you come up with a strategy so you don't have to yell. And with a five-year-old, listen, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. And I'm not sure that was a parenting verse, but I always apply it to parenting because I think often when we don't know what else to do, we raise our volume as though by raising our volume, we're going to be more effective. Well, we are in a short term. You know, we can sometimes get the response and results we want for a very short period of time, but long term is not effective. So I want you to hang on, Diane. I want to send you the resource from our center that we share with parents all around the country called Raising a Responsible Adult. It's a book and a study that'll give you the principles that we teach. But just as an overview, one of the things you have to do as a parent is parent up and power down, meaning you have to cut the power level in your own life, not yelling, not screaming, not being punitive, not lashing out, and then coming up with a consistent game plan and sticking with it. When a five-year-old, for instance, is getting disrespectful, it's fine to take her and place her in her room and say, when you're worked, whatever it is that you worked out, come on out. You can come and rejoin the family. But that's not something we're going to do here around the dinner table tonight. If you want to be disrespectful at dinner, I guess you don't want to eat tonight. That's fine. You can come back for breakfast. In other words, holding your child accountable without having to raise your voice. You know, we have one of the things we talk about is you never have to yell again if you choose to be intentional as a parent. We believe that. Hang on. Sally's going to get your address. We're going to send you Raising a Responsible Adult. Whatever stage that we're in, there's going to be a beginning and a middle and an end. And so I sort of thought about how does that work as we look over the decades of our lives. And so I sat down and I thought it would be kind of neat to go through each of the decades very quickly and see what is the season of that decade. What is the season? And what are some of the challenges? And I use the word challenge, but you may want to cross that off and put opportunity, because not only is it a challenge, but it's also an opportunity as you go through that particular decade. So you ready to go?
Ready.
All right, so you can see, teach us to number our days, it says in Psalm 90, verse 12.
that we may gain a heart of wisdom. There's a time and a season for everything under the sun, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. And I believe that we can learn from the past, we can live in the present, and we can prepare for the future.
That happens to be an excerpt from the teaching for October and November, two-parter on the topic of the decades of life, being intentional through all the decades, each of the decades of life. That's going out to members, by the way. Members are those who support the ministry financially, because we're listener-supported. Do so every month on a regular basis, and be watching for that October-November CD coming your way. But we have something very special right now for everybody to get involved here at year-end. And, in fact, with only a day, 2 days, 3 days left in this month, boy, we could use your help today. And Dawn, you stepped in the studio.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about this brand new resource that we've created here from the ministry called Made to Thrive at Christmas. Very concise readings and scripture and inspirational thoughts and some fresh, meaningful traditions to consider and ideas for the Christmas season and just a lot more. It's one of those, it's the kind of book I like to read because you can sit down and you can read through this in a short time and come back and reflect on some of the thoughts and scripture and it's something that's just a nice little addition for the Christmas season.
And it's the kind of book I like to read and then give to somebody else who may need a little bit more encouragement at Christmas, or maybe someone who doesn't follow Christ, or maybe someone you want to introduce to the real reason for the season of Christmas, for the meaning of Christmas. And this book was really intentionally designed to do that. In fact, it's thin enough. You can drop it right in an envelope, mail it to someone that you'd like to see thrive this Christmas. That's what it's all about. Made to Thrive at Christmas, and it's our gift to you for your gift to the ministry of any amount right now, today, to help us. And Dr. Randy, as we know, over 25% of everything that the Ministry of Intentional Living receives will come in between now and the end of the year from our faithful and generous listeners. We want to say thank you, but we also want to make it a matter of prayer, because this really is the home stretch these last couple of months.
Yeah, you think about it, it's interesting, but it's true. From about November 1st through the end of the year, about a quarter comes in of all that will be received. And that's why these weeks are so critical, because every day matters. And frankly, the resources that come in will just allow us to do it. It's an opportunity for us to continue to do this. So respond today. We'd appreciate it. And you're going to enjoy this book, Made to Thrive at Christmas, with your best gift. Now, when they go online, they can just let
us know. That's right. Let us know that you want to receive Made to Thrive at Christmas when you go online to make your gift at theintentionallife.com. Again, it's theintentionallife.com, or you can call us to make your gift as well, 888-888-1717. Press number 4. You'll talk to someone in our ministry center and let them know you'd like to receive that gift book.
Very good. Thank you much.
Thank you.
And when you do, in advance, we say thank you.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Coming up, Dr. Randy's got more help for you and that disrespectful teen. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Mom, I totally don't get this Bible study we're doing at Youth Group. I keep having to flip all over the place, and I can't keep it all straight.
Here, try this. It's my new chronological Bible. It covers the entire Bible in the order that things happen. I started reading it just 15 minutes a day, and I should finish the whole Bible in a year.
Pretty cool.
Take a fresh look at the Bible by reading it in the order the events actually happened with the Intentional Word 1 Year Chronological Bible. Available now at the online store at theintentionallife.com.
Our smartphones. They've pretty much become an extension of our bodies. We don't go anywhere without them.
Hello?
So why not use that smartphone to help you lead an intentional life? Join thousands of people on Facebook who've committed to living an intentional life. Share your story or be inspired by someone else's. Or follow Dr. Randy and get your encouragement in 140 characters or less on Twitter. Find us on Facebook when you search Intentional Living. And if you want to follow Dr. Randy on Twitter, just search for the IL Center.
An intentional life in Christ can make all the difference.
After almost 3 years of offering relevant biblical advice on the radio, Dr. Randy Carlson has become a trusted voice in so many homes. Ideas on parenting, marriage, finance, and anything else life has in store. And now, you can access that helpful information in the palm of your hand when you download the mobile app from the Intentional Living Center. Audio and video clips on all sorts of subjects. Access to the daily radio program. You can even interact with others on the Intentional Living blog. Visit your app store and download it today. From the Intentional Living Center.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Hey, stop by our website and visit our Intentional Living Center store. You'll find great resources that's only available to you at the end of the month called the Faith Builders Pack. In that bundle, you'll receive My Daily Walk Devotional, 101 Things for Your Faith, Finding God's Will CD, the From Belief to Behavior CD, and Is There Enough Evidence to Convict You CD. This is a great pack at a great price. It's half off. So go to theintentionallife.com. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. Click on Resources and click on Intentional Living Center Store. Randy?
All right, that's good advice. Thank you, Kurt, for that reminder. A couple other things. People are on Facebook talking about, this is the hardest thing that I face as a parent. How do I deal with a 9-year-old disrespectful child? I don't know how to handle this situation. Just when you're in the middle of it, like any battle in life, it's fluid and it changes, and every person has got unique individual differences, and we understand that. And there's no cookie-cutter approach to this thing of dealing with disrespect, but there are principles to follow. And we've tried to teach these in two resources. One is the Parenting Challenge book and a study guide that you can get through our bookstore. It'd be a great gift for the holiday season as well. Just a thought. That's available to you at theintentionallife.com. Also, when you're at the website, if you go to the Inspiration tab, there's tabs across the top. The second one over is Inspiration. And drop down to the Intentionals for Parents. And we've sent out thousands of people who have downloaded these 10 things, the top 10 list for parenting. They're very practical, principle-driven, biblically-driven principles for being intentional and raising your kids. And I think when it comes to disrespect, you may face it with one child and maybe not with another. But that shouldn't change your overall approach to parenting. You still stick to your guns. You still stay intentional. You still stay focused. And you do the next right one thing. And we give you the principles in the studies that are available for you there. All right, Dolores is in New Mexico. Hi there, Dolores. Welcome to the program today.
Hello?
Hi there. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I was just wondering, how do you handle a 15-year-old that's very disrespectful towards her mom and her grandmother? I am the grandmother, and she's just very disrespectful all the time. What do you do?
Well, what you don't do is show disrespect back. I think there's a tendency with a 15-year-old. They're trying through their power play and their disrespect to control you and get you to do what they want you to do. And if you lash back, I tell parents it's very ineffective to fight fire with fire except in a forest fire. And then, even then, it's very strategic and it's very intentional. It's not just lashing out. And so as a parent, when you've got an on-fire, disrespectful 15-year-old, it's perfectly all right to sit down with them at a cool moment. Mom should take the lead and say, honey, I love you, but listen, you know, let's talk about what's going on in the family here. What's happening? And she may express some things she's upset about. Don't lash back. Let her share what she's feeling. There may be some things that have to be changed in the home, some communication style. There might be some reasonable things that she's concerned about to show respect to her that you care about her. But when you're done with that discussion and you've talked through some things and maybe resolved some things, you make it clear that disrespect is not something that we can show in this home. I can't show it to you. You can't show it to me. And when we do, it's got to stop. When I'm disrespectful, I should be held accountable as a parent. Think of it. As a parent, do we ever hold ourselves accountable for the disrespect we show to our kids? Maybe we need to let our kids know that we'll hold ourselves accountable as well. But when you're disrespectful to me, 15-year-old, there's going to be a consequence. You know, you got driver's ed coming up and driver's license, and, you know, disrespectful kids are not kids that are going to drive my car and be on my insurance policy. There are things that we're going to do to hold our children accountable. And I think if we don't have a respectful conversation with our 15-year-old in a setting where they can talk about what they're feeling, I think we're never going to get it solved. Can you do that?
Okay. Yes, I can tell her mom to do that. Actually, she's tried doing that before, but it's still not working. So I think they're going to take some counseling.
Well, that's good. That's good. But I'll tell you, at the end of the day, a counselor will probably tell you the same thing. You've got to be consistent. You got to show respect to your kids, but then there's got to be limits. Kids need to know that if they're disrespectful in the real world, in the working world, and in relationships or in their marriage and work and whatever in the future, that's not going to be tolerated. That's just not the way life works. Showing disrespect at home is something that has got to be nipped in the bud. Okay, let me see. I got a question here. Kelly, I only have a minute, but what's your question in New Mexico?
Hi. I just would like to know, how do I incorporate prayer and God when I'm disciplining my disrespectful 7-year-old?
Well, I think it's a good idea maybe to pray and prepare yourself before you do discipline. You know, I think sometimes we're not prepared ourselves as parents. And I think after we've followed through and the child's been held accountable through some form of discipline that's appropriate in the home, I think it's appropriate to pray with your kids at that point. What I don't think parents should be doing is pointing the finger in their kid's face and saying, God isn't happy with you and neither am I. You know, I think in the long run, that's not effective, and I think it's hurtful. So praying, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a starting point in any disciplined life.
I work in juvenile corrections, and the language situation there is anything but good. But the boys know that I'm a Christian, so therefore they keep me on my toes not to use improper language, because if they even think I'd use a word that's not proper, they will check me right away, because they'll say, Mrs. H, you didn't say that, did you? And so that keeps me on my toes, so that even when sometimes I would like to say things I shouldn't, I don't, because I know how it will affect my ministry to the boys. Thank you.
Very good. Hey, that's a good reminder. Listen, we are accountable. We do influence others. And if you want to raise a responsible adult, you want to raise a child that grows up to love God and serve others and can get along in life in a positive way, it's going to be much easier and better if you can be in a home where there's a lot of respect. It begins in how you show respect to your spouse, not only to your kids, but to your neighbors, to your friends. Respect is a decision. And when you do it, it's a powerful, powerful thing. Well, I'm Randy Carlson. Thanks for joining me today. We've got some great programs coming up. If you feel frustrated with God, you've been praying and asking and seeking, and it's just not happening, maybe the expectations aren't being met. We're talking about how do you be intentional when you're feeling frustration, even in your relationship with God. And then how to parent up and power down, more on what we've been talking about today, some upcoming topics. I'm Randy Carlson. Thanks for being a part of the ministry. And again, thank you for your prayers and your financial support. God bless you. And we'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.